Hello out there, and welcome to IMPACT, the official podcast of Drexel University School of Education's Education Doctorate Program. I'm Dr. Deanna Hill, here with my podcasting partner, Dr. Stephanie Smith-Budai, and we're pleased to have Dr. Kenneth Jones join us today on IMPACT. Dr. Jones is the head of enrollment for Year Up Philadelphia, a former President Barack Obama-endorsed organization that exists to close the opportunity divide between non-traditional learners and career access. We're so excited to have Dr. Jones as a guest today to learn about the impact that his Drexel EdD has had on his leadership and scholarship. So Dr. Jones, tell us about what you've been up to professionally since you graduated with your EdD in Educational Leadership and Management from Drexel.
Thank you, Dr. Hill, so much for that introduction. And hi, Dr. Budai. I'm so happy to be here with you both. I have really I think the world has really opened up since graduation, which was really interesting because I graduated with the great cohort 8 of the Philly hybrid model. And we finished, some of us finished June 2020, and that was supposed to be our in-person graduation. And as we know, Corona did not have that plan. And so we could not graduate. And so it was bittersweet. I personally looked forward, as all of us did, to that day. But for me, it would have been the first time my mom would have seen me graduate, because she's in the military and has not been able to see me graduate from any commencement, including high school. So this one was really, really one that we were looking forward to. But since graduation, my goodness, I have been able to really be involved in a lot of various things. I wrote my dissertation on non-traditional students and their experience in the college admissions process. And so since the reckoning of summer 2020, really had an opportunity to engage with higher education leaders and college access leaders to really have them have a better understanding with what non-traditional students are experiencing. And coupled with the virtual learning space, I had an opportunity to work with an incredible organization that really provided college credit to high school students that wanted to do research at an undergraduate level. And so that in and of itself was groundbreaking. And then found myself at an organization called Year Up, where I am actually at the front lines of really closing the opportunity divide for a population that's forgotten. So I've been really busy and super excited.
Wow, that's incredible. And I hope that even though you weren't able to formally go to commencement, that you celebrated yourself.
Oh, and did.
The achievement of becoming Dr. Kenneth Jones, because it is something to be celebrated.
Thank you. I absolutely did.
So Dr. Jones, you have been very busy since completing your EdD. And as you're aware, the Drexel EdD is designed to prepare scholarly practitioners to identify and address problems of practice in their own professional context, right? So what made the Drexel EdD appealing to you? And what were you looking for in a doctoral program when you decided on Drexel?
Oh my goodness, such an incredible question. You know, I had been in higher education for a number of years, and so I had a deep understanding of how the system worked being on college campuses. I had worked in student affairs, and most recently when I was in the Drexel program, actually, I was working directly in college admissions. So I was actually seeing and making decisions for students that were applying to a large state university, even privatized institutions. So I was able to sort of have a really vast experience in admissions. And I realized that the people who were actually making some decisions and contributing knowledge were people who had really done the work and finding that knowledge. And so for me, I felt that if I wanted to really advocate for a population that I know is not being spoken about, I really needed to find myself at the table. And so for me, I was looking for a program that allowed us to do that in a practical sense, and also respected the research and the theoretical lens that is incredibly important when you're contributing knowledge. So Drexel did all of that. And then it also allowed us to be innovative. And so I didn't want a program that was was really tailored in a cookie cutter way. And for me, the Drexel curriculum was innovative. It allowed us to really concentrate on innovation, which, oh my gosh, how do you do that? And that was one of the things that really attracted me there. And so I was fortunate to gain a seat in cohort 8, the hybrid model, which was both virtual and we had executive weekends. And what helped me really stay was the faculty and how innovative the faculty was and how incredibly high the standards were for our research and how we wanted to inquire in the field. And lastly, the real inquiry behind the amount of focuses that we could have, right? So it wasn't just higher education. You could do higher education leadership, or you could do higher education as sort of an advanced state and then really focusing on student success and innovation. So really getting into the really nitty gritty of the field was impeccable to me.
So it's wonderful that you spoke to innovation because we know that your dissertation research was very innovative. So can you tell us a little bit about how you came to your problem of practice, what you learned in the process, and then what you would say has been the most significant impact of your dissertation?
Yes, Dr. Hill, incredible question. Yeah, my dissertation was innovative, and that was one of the celebratory things about being in the program. I found a level of inquiry or a level of methodology that took one of the most respected levels of qualitative inquiry a little step further, which I'll get to in a second. And I got to my level of inquiry. So the name of my dissertation is Broken Chains, Non-Traditional Black Male Experiences in the College Admissions Process, a Study in Portraiture. And so portraiture is that level of inquiry, which was the innovative space. And I got there because I realized, like, oh my gosh, I have so many questions about the applications that I saw firsthand, and I personally felt like bad at about, because I can feel that an applicant really wanted an opportunity, but literally did not just complete the application. And it sparked off a lot of questions in me and sort of like, what stopped this applicant, you know, and how are we able to get so much other support for these traditional applicants from marginalized groups, namely Black and Brown men? I saw that education systems had these really incredible ways in really trying to develop and support marginalized groups and preparing them for the college admissions process, which in and of itself, you know, the college admissions process has a lot of reckoning to do in, you know, with our population that I'm speaking about here, but that's another podcast. But I felt and saw that there was a whole population forgotten. And I realized, learning in my qualitative course, that the level of inquiry that you select must fit the question that you want an answer to. And I realized that I had a question that was going to really impact society. So I felt the qualitative approach was appropriate based off of what I've learned. And so being able to connect all of those experiences, but also I wanted to suspend my own bias. And so I knew that that was going to be a challenge, knowing my background. And I wanted to be challenged in that way. And so portraiture is the qualitative paradigm that shifts narrative inquiry to the next level, right? So you do get to have narrative inquiry in that foundation, but portraiture allows us to really paint the picture and let the portrait, if you will, of the person tell and inform the next action that we need to do. So understanding that we had an incredible gap in admissions and college access and not knowing how to address that, because there was literally in the grander scheme of statistical significance, there was no significant amount of colleges that had a non-traditional admissions college process that can consider career opportunity versus an SAT score. Because what if these students had no relationship with their counselors anymore? And so that's how I got to that level of inquiry and why I felt it was important. But portraiture allowed me to really focus in on the stories that this was actually happening to and on the participants. And it allowed me to really spend an incredible amount of time with them. So, yeah.
Your research indeed is very significant. And I really hope that others who are doing admissions work are considering some of your findings, because more and more non-traditional students are trying to access college. And if these stories aren't heard, you won't really know what to look for and why there are barriers, particularly for Black and brown men. So absolutely. I hope that that people get to it. And if you haven't already started to publish and present on your research, I would really implore you to do so, because these findings need to get out to the larger society.
Thank you so much.
So you're welcome. As you know, one of the Drexel differences is our focus on sustainable leadership. So that's understanding how systems work, understanding how one's own worldview, values, beliefs, and habits of mind sort of influences their leadership. So how would you say the impact has been on your own professional context in terms of sustainable leadership?
Oh my gosh, Dr. Smith-Boudai, that's such an incredible question. I found myself reframing how I see leadership because of the sustainable lens that you just described. And the role that I have now, which is a dream come true, I swear to goodness it is. One of the questions while I was interviewing for it, I think it was like four rounds of interviews for it, but I was excited every time, because one of the questions was, how do you lead now that you sort of have had this frame of leadership, right? Not only in this program, but only in my, and also in my own experiences. So I find that I get to connect with more people because I am able to see their stories, not only in my leadership, but in their own. And it really frames how I position myself now as a leader in this work. I pull from Seattle Swarmer and the Theory U book that's in our curriculum, and how he describes being at the balcony and the dance floor and transformative leadership, and how that situates itself really in sustainable leadership. So the way that I frame that and have been able to see change in now even the team that I lead has really informed other teams and other leaders in the organization that I'm doing this work, and how they're reframing their leadership. So it's not only just me and learning how I lead and being able to see how I'm able to see that those results because of how I'm leading. I'm also seeing it being transformative in other leaders, which I think is the point.
Wonderful. That's incredible. You spoke to Theory U and adaptive leadership and sustainable leadership. And certainly a key theme here in terms of your work is really issues of equity. So as you're thinking about this, can you tell us how your experience as a Drexel EdD student and or your dissertation research really impacted your ability to contribute to equity, social justice, and or anti-racist practices in your current professional practice?
Love this question, Dr. Hill. It was the reckoning of America of summer 2020 that really got me to be introspective, not only in my own work, but also in the experience that I just had. As I shared earlier in the podcast, we were scheduled to graduate June 2020. And as we know, George Floyd happened in May 2020. And so understanding how that conversation catapulted so many systems to the limelight to be rethought and reframed, I found myself as a part of that discussion and was proud to be able to draw on my experience in my cohort as one of the only two Black men in the cohort, if you know, and being able to understand the origins of why that system even took place, and not necessarily blaming it on any one space, but understanding that there's a core reason for this, and there needed to be a reconversation. And so being able to draw from that really catapulted me to tables that I would have never imagined. For example, the University of Kansas's medical school asked me to come and provide examples and conversation around my research and what I found in my work. Being able to sit on boards of editorial journals who are really focusing conversations on rethinking conversations of race and equity and what those definitions are, and being able to sit at those tables and to make those decisions is life-changing. And for me to be able to do that rests solely really on the ability or the freedom to be able to have these inquiries that I had from the program, and knowing that conversations around becoming anti-racist means that we have to unlearn a lot and really understand why these systems existed in the first place. And so it's work that we are all continuing to do. I'll tell you that I, even as a Black openly gay man, I went through a Racial Equity Institute training and was blown away by what I did not even know about the origins of race even in this country. So knowing that I still have a lot of work to do is indicative of recognizing that there is space to do it. And it's I appreciate the program for having that impact on me so that I can have that impact on the world.
Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Jones. And I appreciate you bringing up the importance of doing the work, regardless of if you're a part of one, two, or more underrepresented or marginalized groups. We all have something to learn, and we all have to learn in order to contribute to the work for justice and equity. So I do appreciate that. You have quite a robust background of professional experiences, right? You're an educator, editorial board member, international speaker, and a best-selling author. Of all those things, what has been the greatest impact of the EDD on your career?
Oh my goodness. It would have to be all of it. The impact on me as a professional starts with me as a person. The Drexel program allowed me to really do some work personally as an educator, as an author, as someone who's super inquisitive, and really recognize from where those interests lie and where they come from. And in order to understand that, I have to be able to start from self, which, you know, the first class of the program, and God rest Dr. Kim Moritz, who taught us to always start from your core, and what that means for you is going to inform everything that you become from this space. So yes, the impact of this program allowed me to be honest with a lot of my struggles. It allowed me to provide a platform for others who may find it hard to be resilient, and it gives me permission to represent in the ways that I know I am representing, not only in my community, but for people who I've not even met yet. So the impact is astronomical, but started certainly with that first class with Dr. Ken, and sort of ironic that I get to call myself Dr. Ken now.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
And what a beautiful sentiment and tribute to Dr. Ken Moritz, who we know had such a profound impact on our EDD students. He is dearly missed. Dr. Jones, you talked about this a little bit already, but maybe you can say a little more about what's next for you. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Oh my goodness. Well, this question always brings me a little anxiety, if I'm frank. I can tell you that 4 years ago, I did not see myself sitting here being interviewed by an incredible program. And so now I've reframed my answer to this question in that I really see myself being a gatekeeper for even more forgotten populations. There are so many people who are walking around really wanting an opportunity. And education is really a gateway to that. Whether you have experienced an education in the public school space, like I have, I'm a public school graduate, a private school space, or you have not even had the opportunity to be educated, we all know that that is going to have impact on the rest of your life. And so in 5 years, I see myself being a change agent and continuing to be a gatekeeper at larger platforms and international spaces, speaking and educating the masses on where we need to be going and continuing to contribute all of that to what I've had the opportunity to do at Drexel.
We are excited to see where you are in the next 5 years and the additional impact that you have made. Thank you so much, Dr. Jones, for sharing the impact that the EDD program has had on your professional practice. Do you have a few moments for a few lighter questions before we go?
Yes.
All right. So no pressure. If you had to choose one, would you choose spontaneity or stability?
Spontaneity.
Okay. Any reason why? You just want to leave it at that?
Well, I think being spontaneous creates a level of angst that pushes adrenaline. So I'm more apt to do it if it's spontaneous.
Right. All right. Great. Thank you.
Well, you may have a ton of these, Dr. Jones, but can you name just one song that's inspirational to you?
Oh my goodness. I have a ton of them. The one would be, oh goodness, see, they're all playing in my head at the same time. It would be Fred Hammond, Let the Praise Begin.
Ah, okay. Can you tell us why?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Fred Hammond, Let the Praise Begin. I'm a graduate of an HBCU. I went to Jackson State University for my undergrad, and that song got me through so many tests when imposter syndrome was real. So I would listen to that song, and it literally was like just praise for what was already done, and it would make me so happy. So yeah.
All right. I love Fred Hammond. When you said his name, I thought you were going to say either Give Me a Clean Heart or No Weapon.
See, all that. See, I can't. Dr. Hill said one.
No, I know, but they're usually the two that people say when they say Fred Hammond. So I just thought.
Yeah, it was like, are you ready for your right?
Right. Yes, definitely. Great. Fred Hammond is one of the greats, of the greats for sure. All right, last question, Dr. Jones. If you could interview a famous person, who would you choose?
Follow up and question. Before I answer, can they be, can they have transitioned?
Yes.
Okay, it would be James Baldwin, hands down.
All right.
James Baldwin, I have him plastered all over my house. I just love him. I think James Baldwin's mind was just an incredible I don't even know what to call it, the way in which he has been able to articulate his thoughts and the bravery that he had in walking into spaces that really may not have welcomed him in other spaces outside of his, just his intellect and just, you know, and just I think he's a muse for me, and I just would love to interview him and ask him his advice, being a gay Black intellectual genius.
Are there any words from James Baldwin that you would like to share to inspire listeners?
Oh, absolutely. James Baldwin says, I mean, he has lots of incredible words, but what he says about education, and this drives me in all of my work, is any system, particularly in education, that you become more educated in, the more responsibility you have to scrutinize it.
That is powerful. And I'm glad that you were able to find just one, because I know, I mean, his work is so robust.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. That was great. They were the three questions that we had, the lighter questions. So it has been a pleasure. It has been a pleasure to have you on. This is one of our EDD alums, Dr. Kenneth Jones. We want to thank you for sharing with us today. We are always incredibly honored and excited to hear the amazing ways our EDD alums are having an impact in the world. Dr. Jones's bio will be posted with the link to this episode on our Impact Podcast website at drexel.edu/SOE/EDD Impact. Thank you so much, Dr. Jones.
Thank you. And I just really quickly, I want to thank my mom and Dr. Flowers, who is my supervising professor. Couldn't have done it without both of them. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in to Impact. We look forward to the next episode, where we hear from other alums about the impact that earning a Drexel EDD has had on their professional practice, research, policy changes, and the larger society. Goodbye for now.